want to be like Thomas. Just knowing that going in is gonna make this whole thing fine, but I'm willing to bet that after this year, you're a little bit more dubious about the claims you hear others make too, and I'm willing to bet that at times it's hard for you to see a future of normalcy or something that looks like it, because we are constantly hearing about changing of rules and that we have to add these small changes here and there to these problems that need to be solved. We can easily begin to worry about the next press conference from our governor and what changes they might bring. That worry leads to anxiety, and that anxiety to fear and doubt. So we've got doubts. We like to call Thomas a doubter and kind of thumb our noses at him, but he doesn't ask for anything more than what the disciples had already experienced. Really think about it. The other disciples questioned the women's report about a resurrected Jesus. And it wasn't until Jesus shows up behind that locked door and shows his hands and his wounds that they start to believe. And that's all that Thomas is asking for. And yet he's a doubter. His world had been flipped and turned upside down, and he's questioning all of it. And I'm sure in every sense of the word, doubt that comes in many forms, Thomas is experiencing it, right? That self-doubt, that inward focus, asking questions like, did I really do all that I could to prevent this from happening? Or maybe looking around the room, he's doubting his companions, asking questions like, are these people really up for the job of what we've been called to? And I'm sure that there was some kind of doubt about his faith, about God. Can I trust God? Jesus made a ton of claims, and now that he's gone, things are different. So the foundation of his trust is beginning to crack, perhaps. And so today, we're sitting with doubt and using Thomas as a way of dealing with our doubt in a powerful way, because Thomas didn't pull punches or hold anything back. And because of that, he had a faith that would follow Jesus to the grave. He shows us that when we are able to let Jesus into our doubt, we can have a deeper faith because of it. Now, if you're short on time, let me just put this in kind of a tweet-sized way. Doubts are the ingredients for a healthy and full-bodied faith. When we see the ingredients as separate, they might seem disjointed and daunting, but when we let Jesus into our doubt and begin to allow him to reveal a recipe for abundant life, that doubt turns into something delicious. Doubt's not the opposite of faith. Doubt is faith seeking a deeper understanding. We see this with Thomas. He frames his doubt with a longing for something more, for abundance. It's this doubt that if it turns out to be true, then he says, I'm following Jesus to the grave. I'm ready to die with you. And it's different than somebody who's cynical or jaded or just wants to see everything fall apart, right? Like, Thomas isn't one of our friends who is just there to point out all the things that are wrong while never ever offering up some kind of solution or way forward. Thomas, throughout his doubt, has some hope that moves him toward a deeper, more rich faith. And Thomas is a great example, but there are people throughout Scripture who wrestle with their faith and God doesn't smite them, but journeys with them. King David, a man after God's own heart, doubts God's presence in his life and calls out in the Psalms because God feels far away. Pillars of our faith, like Moses and Paul, argue with God, and Jacob literally wrestles with God one night. When we let Jesus into our doubts, Scripture witnesses to the fact that our faith is stronger. Not one time do we see God shy away from our doubts, whether we are bringing them to God in the middle of the night or shouting them in the middle of a field where there's no one around for miles, or feel so broken that all we can do is groan. In fact, Scripture encourages us to ask, seek, and knock, because the door of the kingdom will be open to us. It's like Jesus in those words is reminding us not to let doubt squeeze God out of our faith. Because that's when things start to get interesting, when God's in there. And so as we begin to close today, I want to go back to our cooking analogy, our soup analogy, and think about doubt like ingredients. Feels appropriate that in our spotlight we talked about food banks, so we're gonna roll with it today, okay? But if doubt becomes like those ingredients of a fine soup and we don't do anything with them, we just settle to try to live off of the broth. While that might allow us to survive, broth doesn't really feed us. And if we want to be spiritually fed, we need to invite Jesus into that doubt and begin to work with the ingredients of our faith. You know, I've seen this in my life, that when I began to let Jesus into some of the doubts about science, I could see science and faith working together to help me understand the world around me, and that creation isn't just a ball of rock and gas, but a tapestry of the witness to God's creativity and beauty. When I let Jesus into the doubts that I had about personal relationships and interactions, it sparked in me a wonder that led to a psychology degree. And when I don't shy away from the brokenness that I see in the world around me and think, well, that's just the way it's always gonna be, I begin to see the potential of God's redemptive hope here and now, and not just in some future distant place after I die. It was letting God into my doubts that I began to see the potential for God's church to be an agent of hope and transformation, and in doing this, heard my call to ministry. Now, I don't have it all figured out, but I know that I'm making something satisfying, something delicious, something hearty with Jesus, and as he shows me the recipe and weaves in and through my doubt, Jesus is making something sustaining and that feeds my weary soul. And so this week, I want to encourage you to be more like Thomas. Share your doubts with God. Share them with someone else that you don't have to, so you don't have to sort this whole thing out alone. You can share them with me. I'd be privileged to have a chat with you about your doubts, because I know that we'll come out better both in the end. And I want to leave you with this prayer today that we see in the gospel. It's from a man who's doubting everything as he brings his ill son to Jesus. And Jesus asks the man if he believes that his son can be healed. And his answer, his prayer, his groaning is, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Pray this prayer over your doubts daily, so that you might make room for Jesus to cook up something beautiful with the ingredients of doubt in your life. Amen.